Before we begin, this episode contains content that some listeners may find sensitive. Listener discretion is advised. This is The Access, Pregnancy Post Row, and I am Mia Braun. In this first episode, we will explore the definition of abortion and when it is necessary for the life and health of the mother. It is important to understand that assumptions about people who have abortions are often based on harmful stereotypes and misinformation. Here are some common but usually inaccurate assumptions. One misconception is that they are irresponsible or promiscuous. This assumes that unintended pregnancies only happen to people who are careless about sex or have multiple partners. In reality, unintended pregnancies can happen to anyone, regardless of their relationship status or how careful they are. According to the National Abortion Federation, each year, almost half of all pregnancies among American women are unintended. About half of these unplanned pregnancies are ended by abortion. Another assumption is they are using abortion as birth control. This suggests that people who have abortions don't use contraceptives. However, many people who have abortions were using some form of birth control when they became pregnant. No birth control method is 100% effective. According to the National Abortion Federation, half of all women getting abortions report that contraception was used during the month they became pregnant. If abortion were used as a primary method of birth control, a typical woman would have at least 2 or 3 pregnancies a year, totaling 30 or more in her lifetime. In fact, most women who have abortions have had no previous abortions. Considering that most women are fertile for over 30 years and that birth control is not perfect, the likelihood of having 1 or 2 unintended pregnancies in a lifetime is very high. More misconceptions of those who choose abortion is that they will regret their decision. Studies show that the vast majority of people who have abortions do not regret their decision. Instead, they often feel relief in a sense of making the best choice for their circumstances. The last major assumption of those who choose abortion is because they are selfish or uncaring. This assumes that people who have abortions don't value children or families. However, many people who have abortions already have children and are making decisions based on their ability to provide for their existing families. Others may want children in the future, but know it's not the right time. According to the Lozier Institute, nearly 70% of abortions in the U.S. are unwanted, coerced, or inconsistent with a woman's preferences. There are many reasons women choose to have an abortion. About 50% of abortions are the result of unintended pregnancies. With unintended pregnancy, a common reason for abortion is that the woman cannot afford a baby. Timing is another factor. Many women choose abortion because it's not the right time to have a baby. Some women choose abortion because they feel it would interfere with their education or career, thus impacting their ability to provide for themselves and a child. Some women choose abortion because they are having relationship problems or don't want to be a single mother. Some women find themselves in abusive or unsafe relationships and do not want to bring a child into it, thus creating a dangerous environment for their growth and development. Some women choose abortion because they feel emotionally or mentally unprepared to raise a child, or because they want a better life for the baby that they cannot provide at this time. The last reason some women choose abortion is because of their health problems or fetal health problems. Sometimes when this occurs, it is not the mother's choice, but necessary to save her life. These general misconceptions of abortion and why it is chosen often create a narrative for the public that is untrue and harmful. As we navigate the change of Roe v. Wade in many states, we need to recognize that women are dying in states with abortion bans. The definition of abortion is the termination of a pregnancy after, accompanied by, or closely followed by the death of the embryo or fetus. A miscarriage is the spontaneous loss of pregnancy before the 20th week. A DNC, or dilation and curettage, is a surgical procedure sometimes performed after a miscarriage to remove any remaining tissue from the uterus. The legality of DNC procedures in states with abortion bans can be complex. Here is why. Some state laws banning abortion are written broadly enough that they could be interpreted to include DNCs, even when performed for reasons other than elective abortion, such as managing a miscarriage. This can create confusion for both patients and healthcare providers. There may be differing interpretations of the law regarding DNCs within each abortion ban state. Some healthcare providers may hesitate to perform the procedure due to fear of legal repercussions, even if the situation falls within a legal exception. An ectopic pregnancy is when a fertilized egg implants outside the uterus, usually in a fallopian tube. If left untreated, an ectopic pregnancy can cause life-threatening complications for the mother. Unfortunately, there have been instances where the necessary medical treatment for ectopic pregnancies has been questioned in some states with abortion bans. This is mainly due to the broad language used in some of these bans, which again can create confusion and fear among both patients and healthcare providers. Some abortion bans use vague terms like termination of pregnancy, without clearly defining what constitutes a pregnancy or when it begins. This lack of clarity can lead to misinterpretations and concerns about whether treatments for ectopic pregnancies fall under these restrictions. Healthcare providers may fear legal repercussions if they perform a procedure that could be interpreted as violating the abortion ban, even if it's a necessary medical intervention for an ectopic pregnancy. This fear can lead to delays in treatment, which can be dangerous for the patient. There may be a lack of understanding among some lawmakers and the public about the nature of ectopic pregnancies and the medical necessity of their removal. This lack of understanding can contribute to the questioning of these procedures. In some cases, medical intervention is necessary to terminate a pregnancy to protect the health of the mother. This may be necessary if the mother's life is in danger, or if the fetus has a condition that is incompatible with life. A pregnant mother may need an abortion to save her life if her pregnancy complications are so severe that abortion is the only way to preserve her health or save her life. Some examples of pregnancy complications that can lead to death include, as stated previously, if the woman is carrying an ectopic pregnancy. When the fertilized egg implants and grows outside the uterus, it causes catastrophic internal bleeding. Another condition is called preeclampsia, which is a potentially dangerous pregnancy complication characterized by high blood pressure. More conditions include placenta accreta, when the placenta attaches to the uterus and potentially grows through it to other organs. If the mother is experiencing sepsis, sepsis is blood poisoning that can occur if infected pregnant tissue is not treated. Other reasons a pregnant mother may need an abortion include underlying conditions like heart disease, kidney failure, or pulmonary hypertension, which significantly threaten the life of the mother by continuing the pregnancy. Pregnancy can cause significant physiological changes to a person's body that can exacerbate underlying or pre-existing conditions. Another reason for an abortion would be if the fetus would not survive if born. As we think about the reasons for abortion and abortion care in the United States, it is important to remember that with the overturn of Roe v. Wade, we are experiencing an increase in maternal deaths. According to ABC News, as strict abortion laws have been passed across the United States banning the procedure after a certain number of weeks, there are limited exceptions, such as cases of incest or rape, and some only allow an abortion to save the mother's life. Doctors in these states have stated that the language in these laws is vague and makes it unclear what qualifies as a mother's life being in danger, what the risk of death is, and how imminent death must be before the provider can act. Doctors take the Hippocratic Oath, which embodies several key principles. First, do no harm. Maintain patient privacy. Act in the best interest of their patient. And avoid actions that could harm patients. These types of laws do harm, and none of these laws are straightforward. It is very nuanced and complex, which makes it hard for a one-size-fits-all rule or law to generate what all patients are going to need. Laws that only allow exceptions to save the mother's life will put the onus on the provider to prove the pregnant person is in danger of dying. In some states, providers could face charges. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists said in 2019 that the science of medicine is not subjective, and a strongly held personal belief should never outweigh scientific evidence, override standards of medical care, or drive policy that puts a person's health and life at risk. Sometimes an abortion is medically necessary. According to the World Health Organization, inaccessibility of quality abortion care risks violating a range of human rights of women and girls, including the right to life, the right to the highest attainable standard of physical and mental health, the right to benefit from scientific progress and its realization, the right to decide freely and responsibly on the number, spacing, and timing of children, and the right to be free from torture, cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment and punishment. Restrictive abortion regulation can cause distress and stigma, and a risk constituting a violation of human rights of women and girls, including the right to privacy and the right to non-discrimination and equality, while also imposing financial burdens on women and girls. Regulations that force women to travel to attain legal care or require mandatory counseling or waiting periods lead to loss of income and other financial costs, and can make abortion inaccessible to women with low resources. The fact is that women who have abortions come from all racial, ethnic, socioeconomic, and religious backgrounds. According to the National Abortion Federation, if current rates continue, it is estimated that 35% of all women of reproductive age in America today will have had an abortion by the time they reach the age of 45. The incidence of abortion can be tracked by age, length of pregnancy, education, residence, income, marital status, and religion. Let's look deeper into each of these categories. When tracking women who obtain an abortion by age, we know that girls between ages 15 and 19 account for 19% of all abortions. Women 20 to 24 account for another 33% of abortions. When we think about growth and development, adolescents and young adults' brains are not fully formed and developed until the age of 25. Calculating abortion rates, 50% of all abortions obtained in America occur for girls and women below the developmental age of 25. Most abortions, 88%, are obtained in the first trimester of pregnancy. Over half of all abortions are obtained within the first 8 weeks. Another factor that is looked at in women who choose abortion is their education, where they live, and their income. 57% of women who have had an abortion stated that they had some college education. 88% of women stated they were from metropolitan areas. 57% of women were considered low income socioeconomically. Marital status is also another area we can focus on. Most women getting abortions, 83%, are unmarried. Of that 83%, 67% have never been married, and the remaining 16% are separated, divorced, or widowed. Married women are significantly less likely than unmarried women to resolve unintended pregnancies through abortion, according to the National Abortion Federation. The last set of data that is collected from women when choosing abortion is their religion. Women who obtain abortions represent every religious affiliation in the United States. When we review this type of data, we can see that abortions are something that women from all walks of life may choose at some point in their lives. Some of this data can also show maybe why women have chosen this option when they unintentionally get pregnant. As we continue to navigate the changing landscape of abortion in the United States, it is important to remember to have empathy. We need to recognize the complexity of the decision. The decision to have an abortion is rarely simple or easy. It often involves a complex mix of personal, medical, and social factors. Empathy allows us to acknowledge the weight of this decision and the emotional toll it can take. Another reason for empathy is that we need to respect individual experiences. Every person's circumstances are unique. Understanding that there's a wide range of reasons why someone might choose to have an abortion helps us avoid making sweeping judgments or assumptions. A third reason is to promote constructive dialogue. Approaching the topic with empathy can foster more productive conversations. When people feel heard and understood, they are more likely to engage in open and honest dialogue, even when they disagree. Another reason is to acknowledge potential grief and loss. Regardless of the circumstances, some individuals may experience feelings of grief, loss, or regret after an abortion. Empathy allows us to acknowledge these feelings and offer support without judgment. The last reason empathy is important when discussing or understanding abortion is to focus on the individual's well-being. Ultimately, showing empathy to someone who has had an abortion means prioritizing their well-being and respecting their autonomy. It means recognizing their right to make decisions about their own body and their own life. It is important to differentiate between empathy and agreement. Showing empathy does not mean you necessarily agree with the decision to have an abortion. It means you are willing to understand the other person's perspective and acknowledge their experience without judgment. This can lead to more respectful and productive conversations, even when there are fundamental disagreements. With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, it is crucial to remember that every person's situation is unique. There are many reasons why someone might choose to have an abortion, and these reasons are personal and complex. Making assumptions is harmful. It contributes to stigma and judgment surrounding abortion, which can have negative impacts on people's emotional well-being and access to healthcare. As we continue with this podcast, we will explore the stories of women and doctors whose lives have been heavily impacted by the overturning of Roe v. Wade. We will discuss the concerns regarding reproductive care moving forward, as well as how we can make changes for abortion and reproductive care across America. Next week, we will be exploring the history of abortion in the world, especially in the United States.